Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Michelle, thank you for taking all those pictures, the memories. So we did have a wonderful week here on our campus, packed full of kids, learning about the things of God, enjoying each other's company. We laughed and we shouted and we learned some really important key Bible points, didn't we, guys? Yeah. So we're going to do a real a recap for those of you who weren't there, because our story picks up at a very key part in the Old Testament, which brings us to our Bible point today. So let's do a quick review. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and that day we learned that when life is unfair,
God is good.
Awesome. And then God sent the plagues, and we learned that when life is scary,
God is good.
That's right, that's right. And now the Israelites, Moses has brought them into the wilderness, and when life changes, yes, yes. And then we popped over into the New Testament, and on our last day, that's where the gospel was brought, the message of the cross. And we learned that when life is sad, because the good news is that Jesus died, he conquered death, rose again, and brought us back into right relationship with him. And the kids got a hold of that, and many of them responded on that last night of VBS, and it was a huge blessing. So this morning, I want to declare that when life is good, God is good. And my life is good this morning because I'm with my church family.
Amen.
And I just cannot reiterate what a blessing it is to see kids respond in song, whole body, worshiping the Lord. And I know some of you crew leaders were just kind of floored by some of their questions that they asked this week. So I just say my life is good. And in that, I'm saying God is good. And so many of you, my question today is your life good? Yes, thank you. So at VBS, our sermons are illustrated services are very interactive. And the kids do respond to the questions and the calls. And some of you are having a baby born or just had a baby born. Some of you are entering into a budding relationship. Maybe some of you have received a promotion or just got back from vacation. Maybe you're about ready to go on vacation. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that has been far from you and you've recently reconciled that. God is good.
Amen.
Now, the Bible says in the book of James that all good comes from God. So whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from our Father. And I'm so thankful for all the good things in my life, aren't you? So this morning we're going to catch up with the Israelites. And we are going to pick up where they're wandering in the desert. And Moses had just led them out of Egypt. But now, kids, I don't want you to think they were wandering in the desert because they were lost. That is not why they were wandering in the desert. Okay? God had led them to the promised land just like he said he would. But remember how the people complained all the time and they grumbled and they didn't trust him? Well, this particular time, they really complained and God had decided that he had had enough. So Moses sent the 12 spies to scope out the land and explore Canaan. And let me just say, 10 of them freaked out. 10 of the spies freaked out, 2 did not, and those 2 were Caleb and Joshua. So I'm setting this pre-message up for our message this morning. But the men came back and they said, the ones that had the bad report, and they said, the men are too powerful. their cities are large. The city is large and fortified. And fortified means well protected and strong. But Caleb and Joshua had a different report. And they said, we can take them. God promised. He said we could do it. But there were 10 spies that said, no way. And they got the Israelites all riled up. And then they started losing hope, losing faith. They didn't trust God, and they began to grumble, argue, and complain. So I'm going to read out of the book of Numbers exactly this account, because this is really important to hear. Numbers 14, I'm reading out of the NIV, verses 1 through 13. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly and said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or this desert, why is the Lord bringing us to the land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And then they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us in the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Oh, but the whole assembly got together, and they wanted to stone them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to the Israelites. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the circumstances, in spite of all the miraculous signs I have performed among them? I will strike them down with the plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. Whew. Okay, so here's what's going on. They're arguing and complaining. Then Moses goes before God and says, God, don't do this. Don't do this thing. And Moses reminds God that he's slow to anger, that he forgives rebellion. He's merciful. And God says, Moses, I heard you. Now, there's a little message in that where we know that God's character does not change, but oh, people, when we petition the mighty God, we can change his mind. God was ready to wipe out the Israelites, and Moses came before him and reminded God of his goodness and his mercy, and God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to save the Israelites, but this is what's going to happen. Nobody of this particular generation is going to move into the promised land. Only the children. Yay. Does it feel, I mean, come on, when you're a kid, it's like it's good to be recognized. Yes. Yes. But this reminds me, the relationship of the Israelites and God reminds me of this parent-child relationship, right? Like, come on, parents, when when you let your kids go to a birthday party, what, one, two, three times this month? And then they get to play at the lake and then stay up late and watch their favorite movie. And then maybe they ask for their favorite meal for dinner and you're like, sure, I'll make it. We've got the ingredients. And then, like, they have the gall to complain that they're bored or, like, we never have any fun or so-and-so gets to do this and that. And I'm just like, really? hello? Have you not been paying attention? And the sting here for us adults is this. We are like that with our God. Yeah. He has blessed us. He has provided for us. He has healed us. He has given us ideas. He's inspired us. He's given us favor. And dag nabbit, a week later, here we are going, I have an issue with my life, and all I want to do is complain about it. We're no different. We're no different than our children. We're no different than the Israelites. So we are his kids, and God is our good father. But he said this because that generation did not trust them. Only their children would be allowed to enter the promised land when they grew up. And until then, they'd all have to wander in the desert for how many years? 40 years. So that's why they were wandering. That's why they were not lost. So when Moses died, Joshua became the new leader, and he was filled with the Spirit, full of wisdom. And that's where our story picks up this morning. They're about ready to enter the promised land. And there's some key pieces or components to this process here. I want to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. So kids, the Ark of the Covenant was a big box, and it was gold. And only the priests were allowed to touch it. But the handles. It was quite heavy. So we have a handle and a handle here, and then a handle and a handle here, and then the box was in the middle of that. And the box always preceded the nation of Israel. And it was sacred. And things that were key to the Israelites' faith were in that box. So I'm going to tell you what were some of the things in there. The Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that had budded. And you guys remember when we learned about manna this week? There was a gold jar full of manna in that box. Now, when I was a teenager, when I graduated high school, my folks got me, it was black lacquer and brass. That tells you what was in fashion then. A black lacquer and brass hope chest, and it was cedar lined. Now, I don't really know if that's a thing anymore, where girls, if you get hope chests, or guys, you get hope chests when you graduate. But that was intended to put, like, dishes, my grandmother's china, linens, things to help me set up a home. And then I was super sentimental, and I kept my diploma, all the awards and certificates that I had earned in my education, I stored in my hope chest because I did not want to forget those monumental times in my life where I succeeded. Because there are going to be times, I know, in the future where I'm not going to feel like a success. And these are little moments in my life that I can go back and remind myself where I did succeed. So this Ark of the Covenant was a sacred box for the Israelites. So here they are standing at the Jordan River, and now they need to cross to get into Canaan. But there's a slight problem. It's harvest time, and the river is flooding. It's way over its banks. And they need to cross. So does this remind you of another body of water that they needed to cross, Caden? The Red Sea. Good job. Good job. Yes, so you have to remember a generation ago, there they were at the Red Sea. So now fast forward, here they are at the Jordan River, ready to go into the promised land, and this water is overflowing. So what happened was, as soon as the priest's feet, now the priest carried the Ark of the Covenant, as soon as their feet touched the water, that river opened up and pushed back, I mean heaped back down, so the entire nation could cross over into the promised land. Oh, it gives me goosebumps to think about. It's just so amazing. It's so amazing. And God instructed one man from each of the 12 tribes to pick up a stone from the river. Now, those stones must have been really big because the Bible says they carried those stones on their shoulder. And God said, I want you to pick up a stone. I want you to carry it through this river that I just parted. And I want you to build me and yourselves a memorial. So we're going to read that part. It's out of Joshua 4, verses 1 through 7. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, to carry them over with you, and place them and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go before the ark of the Lord your God to the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Now, a memorial is something designed to keep the memory alive. Last May, I don't know how many of you, but we're so blessed to have Memorial National Cemetery right down the road. So Jim and I, we piled up our kids and we drove out to the cemetery, and I was blown away. I mean, just, I got goosebumps, it got a little teary-eyed just by the turnout of all the people in the cemetery, sea of red, white, and blue. It was just so honorable, and it almost felt sacred to go there and remember all these men and women who had fought for our nation and to have the community come out. Well, there's other memorials that we build in our lives. Kids, can you think of a huge memorial in New York? Yes.
Stephanie, what's it called? The
what statue? The Statue of Liberty is a memorial. Yes, yes, good job. Yeah, and many of you have been to Washington, D.C. There are tons of memorials. So a memorial is something to keep the memory alive. It could be a building, it could be a statue, it could be a plaque. Well, in this case, it was a pile of large stones that Moses asked one representative of each of the tribes to come and carry it across, and this is why. So that your children don't forget. And to me, when I read that, it reminds me of God's heart in this story. It's really important to him that we do not forget to tell our children about God's goodness. It is our responsibility to mark those moments and tell those stories. When God met you to this generation. So as part of a healthy soul we've been talking about, as part of being fully alive in Christ, it's so important to cultivate a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. It's so important to acknowledge God's goodness in our lives. Because of our circumstances, and to be quite honest, in spite of our circumstances. Now I've asked a few people this morning to share some testimonies. Tiani, if you want to get yourself ready there, hon. Let's get a mic. Which one? Yep, right there. Thank you. Okay, come on up.
Hi, everyone. As she said, I'm Tiani, and I just wanted to share about what God is doing in my life right now and how he's good even in this season. It's kind of a transition season in my life. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do, what God has for me next. As many of you know, I just graduated with my bachelor's degree, and so I'm trying to figure out, yeah, it's exciting, but I'm trying to figure out what's next, what I want to do, what I want to apply, what I've learned. And I know that God's going to be faithful in this time. He's been faithful throughout my whole life, and he's good right now. He's been providing for me part-time work, helping me to get experience, try out a lot of different things. And I know that he's prepared me for this time by asking me to trust him in every other area of my life, and now it's my future that he's asking me to trust him with. And it's hard. I want to be in control and know what's going to happen, but God is still good. He reminds me of his faithfulness, even when I'm feeling discouraged, when I interview for jobs and I don't get it, or things happen where I'm really disappointed. He's always like, I'm here and I'm faithful and I have a plan. And so I know he's good in that. And I've been declaring Proverbs 3, which says, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge him and he will make my path straight. And that's really meant a lot to me and reminded me that I don't see the big picture, and maybe it seems hard right now, but he's good and he's faithful, and all I have to do is trust and surrender it to him. And so I know that he's been faithful in every season of my life, and this one's not going to be any different, and so I'm just trusting him, and I'm declaring that he's good in my life. So God is good.
I'm Carl Graver. A lot of you guys already know me. I just want to share something that was really impactful for me at the VBS this year. And, oh, Bella, you want to help me, huh? Can you hold this humongous? Oh,
it's heavy.
Well, there you go. One of the last, on the last day, one of the places we went to was the Bible Land Adventure, and on the last day, Pastor Justin was talking about how Jesus took our sin with the cross, and all the kids got handed a smooth pebble, and at the end, they were to throw the pebble into this area where we were just giving it to Jesus. And throughout the rest of the day, everything seemed normal, and then I noticed I saw a few kids still had their stones, and I thought, what? That's kind of, maybe they just like the smooth stone. But I asked one of the kids, did you throw the stone that I gave you into the place where the cross was? And he said, no, I threw a different one. I wanted to keep this one. And that was where the revelation came to me. I was like, how many stones am I carrying around that I just want to keep? Because I like them. They're smooth. They look really nice. And, you know, the sin in my life, there's some that are really easy to give up, and there's some that I just want to hang on to. And God was just saying, look into your heart, Carl. Is there anything in there that you haven't given up? And I was just like, man, life's not been fair to me this year. I had cancer. I have had issues with my hands. I've had both my knees issues. And God is still good. You know, in the circumstances, God is still good. We just need to open our eyes. And like Lynette said, he's given me so many things. Why would I concentrate on these little things and hang on to them? And so I just wanted to say, VBS was for the little kids. And I was there with my grandkids, and it was awesome, and it was fun. But it also reminded me of, you know, the things in my life, you know, this teaching wasn't just for the kids, it was for me too. And I just say, God is good. Can you put that on the pile?
I'm coming.
This is my mom, one of my moms. I have lots of moms here.
I want to give a little recap. In VBS, we learned that life can be unfair. Life can be scary. Life has lots of changes. And life can be sad. in 56 years of marriage and 46 years of walking with the Lord, all of it in this church with all of you wonderful people, Dan and I have experienced it all. We have learned along the way how much God loves us and that he is completely for us. He has been our rescuer. He has been our healer. He's been our guide. And he's been our comfort. Lately, things have been going really smooth. Don't laugh. It's going really smooth. Dan and I are learning as we study his word, and we're being reminded daily that our God is always good. And we're learning what we learned in VBS, that when life is good, God is good. Yes.
Hey guys, I got the little one. Well, first, I just gotta say, like, God is so good. I can look at any aspect of my life, my job, my family, where we live, the bills that we pay, and the dinero that we pay the bills with. He is so good. He just comes through for us. He comes through for me and my wife all the time, and that builds our faith. We are not concerned about things that a lot of people are concerned about because God is good. You know, it works out. I'm going to tell you about one miracle that stands out to me that's happened in the last 1 to 2 years. It has a little backstory. My little brother, Caleb, he's 16 years old. And when my parents were pregnant with him back in 2002, my mom went in for an ultrasound, and the doctor said, your son has spinal deformity. There's problems with his back, and he's probably going to be born paralyzed. You know, that's freaky, you know, for any pregnant couple. So anyway, you know, they prayed. Our church prayed over them at the time. They anointed my parents with oil and prayed over them, I believe. And they had my little brother, Caleb, and he wasn't paralyzed at birth. He did have problems with his back, but they didn't seem to affect him. He grew up running around and playing outside, and if he had taken his shirt off, you could see his spine had a lot of problems. He had kyphosis and scoliosis. I think those are the two terms. So it basically, the way I'm standing now, it would curve this way, and it also curved this way. So he had like a double S going on. And he didn't show symptoms for years, with the exception of just visually. He was a little shorter than he should have been, and he had a weird looking back. When I think he was 15 or so, he started seeing symptoms. He started experiencing pains that he shouldn't be experiencing. And the doctors told my parents that he was on the way to being paralyzed. He was going to be in a wheelchair soon. So they start praying and talking to people at our church and doing research and getting different doctors' opinions. Basically, I believe they were told it was a 99% chance he was going to be paralyzed. It was it was almost certain. So then God started showing up. It was really cool. So my mom was researching, and she found the best spinal surgeon in the world. She found his name online, and so she started, like, looking into it. He lives in New York. He performs surgeries in New York. This is the doctor that tours the world to teach other spinal surgeons how to do it because he's so good. You don't typically get an appointment with this doctor for 2 years after you start trying. There's, like, a huge backlog of patients waiting for surgeries. Well, my mom, you know, she never lets that stuff slow her down. She's going to keep calling people and annoy them. So anyway, she starts calling like the doctor's assistant or whoever it is that does appointment scheduling. And, you know, I think I'm pretty sure that the first thing she heard was it's going to be a long time. But somebody ended up dropping out of their like somebody had to reschedule or something. And so basically just really shortly after my mom started reaching out, they got to fly Caleb up just, I think, a few weeks after she started reaching out for his first appointment just to get looked at. And then within a couple of months, they got to fly him out for getting surgery from the best doctor in the world for spinal surgeries. Basically, they have installed like a titanium spine in his back. And so that surgery was really freaky. But the next thing that's really freaky is he going to heal? Like, it's a super invasive, high-risk surgery. Is he going to be able to walk again after it's done, now that he's got like these steel rods in his back? And so this last year has been his healing year. And, you know, he couldn't lift anything. He was really careful what jobs he worked. Right now, like, he's here in the church. Caleb, you want to stand up? You wouldn't know. That's good. So you wouldn't know that he had ever had back problems, you know? Like, we hang out, and he's doing the same stuff I'm doing, moving, lifting stuff that's, you know, heavy. He's cautious, but he's healing. He's basically 100% healed. And that is totally the goodness of God. God was in the timing. God was in the healing. And, I mean, you know, when you're talking with people or meeting with people, and it's like, oh, it's a normal person with normal life problems like me. Well, he's got this story now. Like, well, actually, like, I'm Iron Man, you know. He can tell people I'm Iron Man, and my body's part titanium. And he's got this testimony to God's goodness. So anyway, that was like the coolest miracle that I could think of that's happened recently in our lives. So God is good.
Bible says that this is how we overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I think sometimes when we're in a funk, we just need to open our mouths and we just need to declare truth. Feelings aside, we need to declare truth. And I'm so grateful for the testimonies that came forth this morning. It builds my faith and it makes me excited. And look at this. This is just a small portion. But can you imagine being an Israelite crossing over and those men carrying those stones and getting to the other side and building a memorial to the Lord? And this is why it matters. Like the Israelites, we have reasons to celebrate. I mean, after all, God has poured out his blessing of health and friendships, promotion, favor, provision, yeah. Food, safety, loving families. Yet all too often we do forget those good times, and those good things do come from God, and it's out of his goodness and love. And I just want to speak to the adults now. Listen, today is an excellent opportunity for you to show your kids how appreciative and how thankful you are to our God, yeah, of all the good things that he's done in your life. And I would just charge you, do not forget. Do not forget the good things. And as we have the worship team come on up, please, we're going to close in this worship song, but we're gonna stay here for a little bit in the service. I've got a bucket of stones that came from our creek on our property. I'm gonna pick up this bucket. Yeah, with legs. Wrong bucket. So they're about the size of a softball. But I'm gonna ask you, as we're thinking about this song and the message this morning, if the Holy Spirit has moved on your heart or will continue to move on your heart as an act of obedience, as an act of faith, I'm asking you to get out of your seat, pick up a stone. You know in your heart where you're at, and you just say, God, you are so good. And I just want you to come up here and place it at our memorial. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word. I thank you that, God, it matters to you that we cultivate a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. Holy Spirit, bring to our minds the areas that you want us to remember, where you encountered us, where you intervened, where you moved in our lives. And as a church body, we just collectively come before you and we declare your goodness. We honor you, for you are holy.
I'm set free. I lift my hands, a sign of surrender. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all. Yes, O Lord, we give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all. I lift my eyes to look to your coming. I lift my eyes, I know you'll return. You will reign in glory forever. we give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. We give you the highest praise. Jesus, our Savior, you are worthy of it all.
So, Father, this morning, Father, you know what every stone represents. Father, you know every marriage, every relationship, every burden, every prayer. Father, every personal decision that's attached to these stones. Father, and today we just acknowledge, God, that you are moving. We acknowledge that you are in control. We acknowledge that you are faithful. We acknowledge that you have spoke. And God, our response to you is to just give you the praise that's your due. And so we turn our hearts to you. Come on, can we sing this chorus one more time? And I encourage you, turn your hearts. If you want to lift your hands, let's lift our hands as a sign of surrender and give him the praise. Come on, let's sing this together and then we'll close. Come on, sing it out.
You are worthy of it all.
Amen. He is worthy this morning. Amen. He is worthy tomorrow. Amen. He is worthy of our praise. As we transition this morning, he is worthy of our praise. Well, that was awesome. Wasn't that great? Come on, Lynette, can we give Lynette a hand and our team, those that shared the Lord? That was so good. Well, I hope you're just encouraged and full this morning. The good news is the fun has just begun. We just have a great day. You know, part of being a part of a church family is not just coming and like, see you next Sunday, but doing life together. And so this is just today we get to, really with the 4th of July, it gives us another excuse just to have a good time as a church. The Sunday before at our Freedom Party, as we're coining it, and one of these days it'll probably land on the 4th, and that'll be pretty fun. But we just have back through our back doors, everything's ready, so it's not like you're going to wait around, but I just encourage you to come have a burger, have some food on us. There's blow-up toys and all sorts of fun things, and that's just going to happen like right now. It's already there. So we're going to transition. We'd love for you to stay for a while and just have a good time as we celebrate our nation's independence and birthday. God bless you. We're going to transition. We can sing and you'll be released. We'll see you next time. Yeah.